small groups and pray. Some people pray by themselves. Some get into little groups and some aren't able to pray, but that's fine. But we'll still plan on doing that tonight. And let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 6. You should have an outline there in your prayer bulletin so you can follow along, maybe jot some notes as we go through this. So far, we've been looking at those things that affect our spiritual energy. You know, we just get spiritually down, our inner spirit, there's nothing there. We're just, it seems like we're wiped out, we're out of gas. Now, last week, we turned our attention from things to people that affect our spiritual energy. People can affect our spiritual energy or our passion positively or negatively. And one of the ones that we looked at, we would set them right here in chair number one. The first one is the very resourceful person. They ignite our passion. Something about them attracts us to them. We can lean on them. We get direction from them. We get encouragement from them. We just love to be around. We get energy from them. If you're having a bad day, this is the person you think of to call because they always seem to lift you up. And that's that increase in spiritual energy. The temptation, though, as we looked at last week, is to just kind of hang around those people all the time, isn't it? It sure is nice to be around them. But remember, Jesus told his disciples who were hanging around him all the time that they wouldn't be around him all the time. In fact, he said they needed to go. They needed to stop being around him all the time. The disciples needed to go and make more disciples. That they would train to go and make more disciples. And aren't you glad they did that? The second kind of person is what we called the important people. Not that their others are less important, but we just call them important people because they are the ones that are around us. They share our passion for things. These are people that have the same spiritual goals as we do. They serve with us. We're fellow workers. These are the people in my life that whenever I'm here at the church in a ministry or doing something like that, these are the people that always seem to be here. They're involved here in the life of the church. And then the third type of person is the trainable person, trainable people. These are the ones that catch our passion. They catch our energy. We become, at that point, we become resourceful people when we have trainable people with us. Because now they are coming to us and getting from our resources that we're sharing with them. The helpfulness of this type of person is a little less than the ones that would be sitting in chair number one or chair number two. They're not quite as helpful to us, but they are a resource for us still. Do you remember how? I mean, maybe you've worked with trainable people before. They do drain our energy some, but we are glad to invest our resources in them because of the way we see them growing. We see them making changes. It's not like a person who we continue to pour into week after month after year, and there's never any change. They just soak it up. But this person, we actually see them making decisions and growing and changing. That's exciting, isn't it? It actually gives us energy when we see that. It's invigorating, it's energizing, and so in that way, they are a resource to us. Now, last week, we also considered what we needed to do with what we had learned about these three groups of people. We should be investing in other people. Spiritually investing in other people. investing into the next generation of leaders. Let me say it this way. Investing in the next generation of spiritual leaders. Folks, if we as resourceful people, that's all of us that have been saved for any amount of time, we should be, okay? If we don't invest in this person, they're never going to fill this chair. But do you realize what that means? When we are off the scene, suddenly now, this is the spiritual leader. And they've never been trained. They've never been helped to grow spiritually. They don't have the wisdom that we had because we didn't impart it to them. So now, this becomes chair number one. And everything moves down after that. It is imperative that we fulfill the Great Commission, teaching them, training them, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 is a verse we looked at. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able also to teach others. And the progression then continues. This is also called discipling. I know as we get older, we can't always do everything that we used to do physically. We can't do as much as we used to do physically. But we can do this. Those of us that have been saved a while, we can train. We can encourage from the Bible. You say, I don't know that much. I've only been saved for 20 years. We need to do some work, folks. Now hold on a second. Did you hear what I just said? I've only been saved 20 years. I don't know if I could train somebody. Do you think that's possible? Yes. And do you know why? It's because that person that's been saved for 20 years is sitting right here. And no one in this chair ever trained them. And so the cycle then continues, doesn't it? So we've got to do our part to grow and then also bring someone along with us. I'll tell you something. I've never had a counseling class in my life. But I love counseling, discipling, whatever you want to call it, Bible studies. Because every time I'm involved in one with someone else, I learn something. Yeehaw! That's good. Why is that so important? Folks, if we don't do this 1-3 connection here, the next generation is going to be less energized spiritually, and then the next generation will be even less energized, and so on. And then what we end up with is a mostly apathetic Christian community. And as I said last week, some would suggest that's where we're at right now. And now we know why. But we also know what to do to fix it, don't we? Have you prayed, since last week, have you prayed that God would lay someone on your heart to reach out to? Please do that. Please do that. I have down here on this cart a bunch of pies. I need about 4 or 5 guys to step forward very quickly. Everyone gets a pie tonight. That means stand up and step forward. About 4 or 5 guys. Come on. Come on. I've got some trays underneath that top shelf that you can stack some on there. Make sure everyone gets a pie in here tonight. I'll give you just a couple minutes to do. Not in the face. No. Leave them in the box. There's no eating in the auditorium. Okay? These are left over from our family Bible school, by the way. No, they're not. We did have a bunch that time, didn't we? All right. Yeah, just walk down the aisles and make sure everyone gets one. Yes, ma'am. And I also corrected that publicly, too. So I'm going to correct you publicly. I did change that, didn't I? And I apologized, too, didn't I? Okay, so everyone gets a pie tonight. Now, there's a reason for this. The reason I'm passing out the pies, folks. And I mentioned this Sunday night. Sunday night, I talked about a time in my wife and I's marriage when one day we were working at the church, and we were just having a difficult day. Our flesh was there. You know what I mean? Those of you that are married, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And all of a sudden, unannounced, out of the blue, this older couple walks in the church. They had just been to the Beef House in Indiana. Do you know where that's at? Oh, yeah. And they had just bought a pie from the Beef House for one purpose. They said, we just wanted to come and share it with you. So we sat down there in my office. We got some plates. We cut it up. We had just a time of eating pie and visiting and talking. And you know what? Whatever it was my wife and I were having a disagreement about, it went away. And that older couple was sitting right here in this chair and didn't even realize it. And all they did was bring us some pie, folks. And they helped us immensely on that day. That's why y'all got a piece of, that's why y'all got a pie here tonight. Just as a reminder. Maybe not even a reminder. Take the pie to someone. Did you get one that you liked? Wait, let me ask you this. Anyone get a pie they didn't like lemon? Okay, good. Because you're going to take it to someone's house now and share it with them, okay? I should have got all bad pies. But someone likes lemon. They have to, otherwise they wouldn't make them. Take the pie, folks. That's why I'm giving them out to you tonight, so you just be reminded, it doesn't take much. You don't have to have a Bible college degree to sit in chair one. All you have to do is take someone that's in chair three and start investing your life in them. Investing God's Word in them, okay? Now, we're going to look at the last two types of people. They do exist, folks. They really do. As we describe them, you're going to understand that. They are obviously less positive than the first three. That's why I've got them numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This being the most positive. And then a little bit less, and a little bit less. And now we get to these last two that the drain on our energy becomes more the farther you go down the row here. They're less positive, but God put them in our life. So we need to be aware of them. The drainers, we can call them maybe. We need to be aware of them. We need to be aware of the effect that they have on our spiritual energy, so that we can control the effect. It's kind of like those of you here that have diabetes. You know the effect that sugar has on you. It's not that, I know some of you got pie tonight and you're thinking, oh, I can't eat this. Okay. It's not that pie is bad, but the effect that pie has on you is not good. So it doesn't mean you have to stay away from pie. I already had one person tell me they're not going to eat it tonight. They can have a little slice tomorrow maybe, okay? But you know the effect that it has on you so that you can control the effect instead of the effect controlling you. You see the difference? And the only way we can reverse that is if we are aware of these last two groups of people. Here's the fourth group of people. Nice people. Nice people. You think, well, why is that bad? This group, they enjoy our passion. And this is a large group, folks, a very large group. They are, listen to me, they are good people. In fact, we're friends with them. They don't necessarily take from our energy, but they don't add to it either. They simply enjoy our energy. I want you to think of a breakfast cereal. Think of Rice Krispies. Okay? One author describes this group, number four, in this way. He said, they don't snap, crackle, pop. This group here, okay? They don't turn colors. They aren't coated with sugar. Listen, they simply lie in the bowl and soak up milk. Now, Jesus never turned his back on these people. Please hear everything that I say so that we don't walk away thinking I said something that I didn't say. Jesus never turned his back on these people. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He treated them with possibility of maybe moving to be a trainable person. Okay? Some of these people will become trainable, in fact. But let's look at Christ's example. When this group here, which is a very large group, when they got to be too much, look with me at John chapter 6. Here's what happened. When they got to be too big, his message changed. His message to them began to get more pointed. And this is what's taking place in John chapter 6, verse 60. He said, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Now let's stop right there for a minute. Go ahead, back up one. He had just got through telling them the costs of being a disciple. In other words, his message got a little more pointed. It wasn't all roses and flowers. He started getting to the meat, the nitty gritty. "And many therefore of his disciples, when they heard that, they said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?'" Verse 61. "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? But there are some of you that believe not.'" Verse 64, or 66, I'm sorry. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." The group got too big, he'd get the message a little more pointed, and some would pan out or leave. Now, we're not seeking to criticize anyone in this church or any church, folks. We're just identifying groups so we know the effect they have on us. We just need to identify who is who, what effect they have on us, so that we can protect our spiritual energy and manage our spiritual energy. Because as I said, Jesus didn't turn his back on any group. A large majority of our congregations in Christianity, let's just be honest, a large majority of them prefer facilities, times, programs that are structured around their personal comfort and convenience. Or they're not going to get involved. Or they'll just go somewhere else. You know what I'm saying is true, folks. In a sense, going back to the cereal metaphor, sopping up milk means sopping up the energy of others. Pastor Newman used to say it this way, okay? If you don't get involved in the ministry, you're going to sit there, sit, soak, and sour. Sit there, soak it up, and get sour about something. A lot of folks, listen, a lot of time, and many of you that are ministry leaders or involved in ministry in some way, you know this is true. A lot of time can be spent programming, planning, administrating, solving the problems of interpersonal conflicts that are taking place. For those trying to provide all of those things for this group, it can be exhausting. It can exhaust your energy, and some of you know that. Because of the nice people's desire to take just whatever they can get and never give back. They're wonderful to be with, don't get me wrong, but they're not always serving on the team with you. That's the group in number 4. Folks, we can't allow them to absorb all of our energy. You have to kind of look at our spiritual energy as a tank of gas, okay? Now, when I was in high school and I had my 73 Pontiac Le Mans, oh yeah, 354 barrel, whew, loved it, okay? It wasn't necessarily a muscle car, but I had fun with it. And I would go cruising. I don't even know if they still do that. Lived in a small town like Pena, one main street, and get in the car after school. We'd go from one end to the other, back to the other, back to the other, back to the other, endlessly. And the gas tank would just go down and down and down. I mean, on a good day with the wind at my back, I would get 13 miles to the gallon maybe, okay? Think of your spiritual energy in a gas tank. Now, we have so much that our tank can hold at any one time before it needs to be replenished, okay? Replenished. We can't allow this group to absorb all of our energy. Why? Because then, as I learned in high school, if I blow all of my gas cruising, I'm not going to have anything to go to work the next day. If we allow them to absorb all of our energy, when it comes time to doing a Bible study, I don't know, I'm just so tired, I'm worn out, I'm exhausted. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And if we have that feeling at the thought of having someone over to our house just to connect with them, I just don't know. We need to consider maybe something is sucking all of our energy. And this is good. I'm not saying that these people are bad or spending time with them is bad, but we need to decide and determine between what is good and what is best. Not just for this person, but for succeeding generations of Christians too, folks. The last group that I want to say a few words about before we dive into group number five there. And again, please remember, folks, this study is not meant to be mean, unfair, unkind. It's just an honest evaluation of reality of where people are at. Okay? These people, all of them, they do exist. And we need to understand how they affect us, how they drain our energy, physical and spiritual energy. This fifth group we'll call draining people because they just sap our passion. One person wrote about it in this way, a ministry leader. They said this, I would respond as fully as I could to every person who crossed my path with any hint of need. Those who needed to visit me, I generally permitted them to control the length and pace of the conversation. There was a man who had some serious personal struggles and found the supper hour a convenient time for him to call me nearly every evening. An emotionally struggling person in desperate need of attention from anyone that would listen. Another one. There was an adult woman who was always causing conflicts among Christians by her undisciplined tongue. And then they went on with their experience. Here's what is true about this, folks. No matter where you go in life, your workplace, at home, or at church, you're going to find these groups of people. As Christians now, as Christians, as we encounter these groups of people, especially down at this end here, we try hard to care for and to serve the draining people. It's just part of our Christian nature. The draining people can become trainable. But if that's going to happen, okay, just coming alongside of them and sitting and listening to them, cry on our shoulder or share whatever, they're just draining, draining, draining. They are never going to go there unless we give them biblical truth. Just something to keep in mind. Because a lot of times we might spend time with them and let them drain us and think, oh, we had a nice connection. We had lunch together. Ate food, but didn't give any spiritual food. They're not going to get there eating McDonald's French fries. They need some biblical truth, folks. So we have to give that to them if they're going to move. Think in the Bible, Judas Iscariot, he was a drainer, wasn't he? I mean, he was a whiner. He was a critic. He contributed very little to the group at all. In fact, Philippians that we've been studying on Sunday, Euodius and Syntyche, they were drainers on the entire Philippian congregation. In fact, Paul warned them publicly about these two individuals in the church that were drainers. Nehemiah, as he was building the wall, he had a lot of drainers coming in and out. So what do? Let's just avoid them, right? Jesus didn't. Can I just point that out? He didn't avoid them. He spent time with all kinds of draining and nice people in chair number 4. But they never captured his full attention. That's what we have to keep in mind. We spent a lot of time over the last several months talking about balance and managing and stewarding our life. They never captured his full attention. In fact, if we looked at what God's Word chose to give us in Scripture about Jesus and his life, and we analyzed his schedule, so to speak, we would find that they had very little of his time, in fact. There were times when Jesus would just get away, turn off the cell phone. He didn't visit everyone. He didn't heal everyone. But instead, Christ, as we look at Scripture, he seemed to have heavily invested his time with the resourceful people, that would be God for him, and the important and trainable people, which were his disciples. Look at Scripture. That's where he was pouring the majority of his time. But yet, look at our calendars. Look at our schedules. So much of our time is poured into this group, and we've already discussed the effects of not working with this one and the succeeding effects on future generations of Christians and the apathy that moves into Christianity. Imagine if Jesus had spent most of his time with the nice and the draining people, just trying to help them. Nothing wrong with that, right? When his time came to be crucified, which is already on God's calendar, okay, Jesus, this is the day, all right, it's time. Jesus' life ends on that day. If he had done that, the disciples would not have been prepared to go and make more disciples. The church would never have gotten off the ground. I mean, you look at what they did, that first generation of number 3s. Christ trained them. They moved up to number 1. And then they trained some number 3s. Worked with some number 3s, encouraged, helped them grow. And the church exploded. We don't see that much anymore, though, do we? Folks, we need to make disciples. Why? The church is dying. Just Google vacant churches or something, and you'll see pictures of churches all across America, especially in Europe. It's even more dead there. That used to be churches. Now they're nightclubs, banquet facilities. The list goes on. Churches are dying, and they shouldn't be. There are a lot of reasons that disciples are not getting made. It's not just one reason. But one of them is that we are not focusing on what is best. We're focusing on good, but not what is best. We're not focusing on training, discipling, exhorting, nurturing, encouraging this group of people. And instead, what we're doing is we're allowing others to control our calendars, to take an inordinate amount of spiritual energy, and then leaving us with nothing to give because we're exhausted. So that when we hear about the need for discipling or Bible study or just mentoring someone, our response is, oh, I'm just so exhausted. Because we spent a lot of time here. Let's look together at Ephesians chapter 5. I'll give you just a second to turn over there. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That word redeem, we use it in a salvation context a lot. We've been redeemed. We sing about, I've been redeemed. Okay? What happened when we were redeemed? Jesus died on the cross, paid for our sins, and redeemed us. Bought us back. Plug that into this verse. See then that you walk circumspectly, wisely, not as fools, but as wise. Get back your time, because the days are evil. Something has our time and we've got to get it back and use it wisely. Not just for things that are good, but what is best. That could really change our country, folks. We're going to stop there for tonight and go ahead and have some small groups. If you want to pray together or just pray by yourself, or if you need to leave, that's fine too. Thank you.